Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 115, Foraging with the Mushroom Man.
They say it's that Einstein said, I never could confirm this, that the most important question we have to answer is the universe friendly? When I forage, and it feels like I'm in the Garden of Eden, you know, and I have this like perpetual shopping spree, and it seems like there is so much out there. It really changes this idea that, you know, we live in scarcity.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from OutsideHealthAndFitness.com. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, rolf, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, we love it. So if you're like us and you want to be healthy, active, and have fun outside, then you found the right place. So it's time to go shopping and you want to get something healthy, natural, and nutritious. But instead of going to the car, you head out into the woods. You don't have a list. It's an adventure. You're going to take whatever you can find, and it's a different treasure hunt every time you go out. That's foraging, and today I have a foraging expert on the show. You'll discover 7 reasons why foraging is beneficial to you, the earth, and the community. Why foods foraged through nature are healthier and safer than you might have thought before. And how you can learn to forage and experience a great backyard treasure hunt for yourself. Also, Jessica Bailey is back on the show to share a tip on helping you get more out of your lunge in this week's Sassy Girl Exercise Tune-Up.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
So last time I spoke with Dr. Eddie Fedekoff, and we got the skinny on sustainable weight loss. Dr. Eddie shared 5 really easy tips for boosting your metabolism and improving your health on the show. If you missed that episode, you might also have missed some of the exclusive articles and information that I sent out in the newsletter every week. The newsletter is great. Every week, I deliver a notice and a brief overview about the latest show. Some exclusive health and fitness information, articles, resources, comes right into your inbox. I also include a free morning Tabata routine as a special thank you for joining the community. This Tabata routine is excellent, and it shows you how in under just 10 minutes in the morning, you can rev up your metabolism for the entire day. It's an amazing workout, and it can really help transform your body. Head on over to OutsideHealthAndFitness.com/115 and sign up for the free newsletter right now. Just hit pause. I'll stay right here. No rush. Just take your time. So a good friend of the show, Deborah Hart, wrote to me to tell me about this amazing mushroom man that she met while taking one of his tours. His name is Alan Muscat, and Alan is a philosophorager and author of Wild Mushrooms, A Taste of Enchantment. He's been taking people out to eat for over 20 years. He founded the first and only forage-to-table company in the country and the first wild foods public education program in the entire world. Alan has appeared on Bizarre Foods, the History Channel, PBS, Southern Living, Foeders, the Washington Post, and many other major media outlets. I am so honored to have him on the show. So let's get right to my interview with Alan. So, Alan, I'm really psyched to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to talk with you about foraging and all the stuff that you do.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Can you talk a little bit about how you got started in this or how you found your passion for foraging?
Yeah, sure. I approach it one of two ways, either in the long run, how it started in childhood, or relatively short run in college. Even that was about 20 years ago now, 25 really. So on the surface, it started after college because I had never foraged until then, you know. And so this is 91, 92. And in college, it may be that I took a very severe turn. I went to Ivy League school. I was going to be an engineer. By the time I left, I was a philosopher and particularly interested or influenced by Eastern philosophy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially Taoism, which essentially is like a back to the nature sort of early hippie movement from, 2,500 years ago.
Yeah.
So that obviously, could push me in this direction. But I also went hiking for the first time and cooked for myself for the first time.
Yeah.
And that put together, the cooking actually had a little bit of a health food consciousness to it. So, it was a whole foods scene, and that led to our interest in organics and then, wild food eventually was sort of my terminus of that exploration. Yeah. But briefly, the long-term answer is that my family has always loved, I would call it treasure hunting or scavenging or basically something for nothing.
Yeah.
And, everyone loves that.
Sure.
So I like to joke that we go to yard sales as a child, and now I go to a yard sale every day in my yard.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people love that, right? You love to find a bargain or uncover a treasure, and that's kind of what you're doing out there.
I remember the first time someone said in some random email, hey, we live in the Garden of Eden here. Yeah. And I was shocked. Like, I had been teaching at that point for at least 15 years, and it had never struck me, that appeal, that idea of the Easter egg hunt, is that old, and that real. We really do still have basically free, easy food for ourselves.
Yeah. Out there. How did you learn about, is there a lot of written material on what's safe and what is dangerous, or is this something that is just passed on from one person to the next? How did you learn what to look for?
Well, it's yes to both those questions. And how I did it is the first way that I don't recommend, which is from books. I grew up very academic, like I said, and continued that beyond college. But, I say DIY is D-U-M, it's not the smart way to learn.
Right.
The smart way and the easy way is from someone else.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be me. That's not a pitch. I mean, around the world, you learn from your parents.
Sure.
It's just we lack that continuity here. But that's what I recommend. Like, you can find a club. I'm actually looking at potentially creating a national network of foraging clubs.
Oh, nice.
Because that's what we need. It's just not reliable to think you can learn foraging or any skill from a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too easy to make a mistake.
Yeah, easy to misinterpret. And books have many shortcomings. They're not necessarily geared to your area.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and they don't account for the nuances. And imagine having a field guide to the fauna of Earth for extraterrestrials, and here you have Homo sapiens on one page, and which one of us is going to be the one picture?
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember when I was a kid, my father introduced us to, I can't remember if it was called a chuckaberry leaf. Does that sound familiar? It's like a green leaf with little red dots on it, and you could chew on it. It was almost like a minty kind of a flavor.
Where is this?
This is up in Maine again, way up north in Maine.
See, that's an example. That's probably a local name.
Yeah.
And I don't recognize it, and it could be a local plant.
Right.
Yeah.
Every region's got its own terminology for things and also its own plants.
And that's the beauty of going local is you get variety.
I was on your site looking at some of the things that you have there, and it's an awesome site, by the way. I'll make sure that we have a link to that in the show notes so folks can check it out too. But some of the stuff that I was seeing, it looks like you were doing a lot with mushrooms. Is that the primary thing that you forage for, or is it just anything out there?
It's both. I'm known for that. It's my specialty. A few years ago, I decided to expand so that my season would be longer, so that we wouldn't go out and be so one-pointedly focused.
Mm-hmm.
And on days that we find no mushrooms, there's still plenty to eat.
Right.
So I tend to focus, say, 80% on mushrooms July through September when they're out. Mm-hmm. But in October and in April, May, June, those are really when the plants shine for wild food. And I say foragers can't be choosers.
So. That's right. It's what's ever in front of you, right?
Now, yeah, I mean, it's even a spiritual practice, honestly, of non-attachment to not say, you know, I want to find morels today. You know, that's pretty asking for trouble.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Take what is given to you.
Mm-hmm. Love the one you're with.
Why would it be good for folks to learn foraging as opposed to maybe going to a local farm stand or a farmer's market or something like that? Is there an advantage to it?
Oh yeah, I count about 7 reasons. You know, if I took a survey, that's pretty much the span I cover over and over about why are people coming to me?
Yeah.
So hearing from them, you know, not only are they getting, you know, organic food, ideally if it's in a safe place, but the food is fresher and far more nutritious than what you can buy, even in a farmer's market, if it's all cultivated.
Right.
There was a book out last year that said wild food is 10 to 100 times more nutritious.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that because of I know a lot of the agriculture stuff, the earth has just been used so much that a lot of the nutrients are out of that. Is that partially what's happening there?
It's funny you say that. That's not the main reason that I point to. What I point to is that our food has been bred for looks, for taste, for blandness, and a lot of things that basically filter out the nutrition. And that's what that book I referred to points to, that you know, we've been genetically modifying for 10,000 years, do it through selective breeding. You know, if we try to avoid strong flavors like bitterness, we get rid of a lot of nutrition too.
What about people that live in a more urban environment where the opportunity to go out in the backyard or out into the woods to forage and find stuff is a little bit more limited? How could somebody in that sort of environment get into foraging?
Yeah, the good news is you don't need woods for weeds. There's more wild food in the city than there is in the country. I'm about to do an outing next month in Miami, and I hope I didn't put my foot in my mouth. I said I would find at least 12 edibles in downtown, you know, Miami.
Wow.
The truth is that in any empty lot, which ironically they call a waste lot, you know, you will find some of the most nutritious things you could possibly eat, like dandelion, for example.
I was just thinking of dandelions. I was going, yeah, that's a good point.
And unfortunately, the danger is not that you're going to eat something natural that's poisonous, but that you're going to eat something poisonous that was sprayed by human beings onto the ground.
Yeah, there's probably more dangerous stuff in the cupboard in some instances.
Exactly. I mean, people say, I literally had someone said to me, you know, I'll take my chances in the store. And their chances are better in the woods than in the store of not getting sick.
Yeah. That's crazy. Now, you teach people how to do this yourself, right? Do you have programs?
Yeah, we do tours at least twice a week in the height of the season.
Yeah.
I get all kinds of people for, you know, I only told you one of the reasons, you know, there's...
Yeah, you said there were 7, right?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that they're free, and that's important. And, the economy, there was a big boost in interest, and I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
I also think the third reason is people don't want to depend on stores. They want a certain amount of security and independence, you know, goes along with not having to pay for it.
And there's some control there, too, because you at least you know or you have a better sense of what you're putting in your body.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know if we covered that, but being healthier for the individual is certainly one of the reasons.
Yeah.
But it's also healthier for the earth. There isn't transportation and pollution involved in growing it with all the pesticides now. There's a lot of detrimental effects of irrigation in agriculture that until recently I wasn't even aware of. You know, the Fertile Crescent is now, you know, a desert. And that didn't just happen from nature. That happened from agriculture, and it happened from organic agriculture. So You know, growing food is, by many people's estimation, the most destructive thing we've ever done.
Now, if we all get out there and started to forage through the forest, would we do the same sort of damage, or is that healthy for the environment for us to be out there foraging?
If we all went out foraging, like with flamethrowers?
Yeah, maybe not with flamethrowers, but I mean, like if there was a huge movement of people that went out into nature and began foraging, would that have a detrimental impact on nature, or would that be a positive kind of rejuvenating thing?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, even if everyone went out, you know, with like a chainsaw, it would be the best thing that could possibly happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I asked Steve Brill this question, who's been teaching more 3 decades longer than me. And he said, that's like saying that we shouldn't encourage bicycle riding, because if everyone got on a bike tomorrow, you know, the streets would just be clogged with bicycles. You know, and the fact is, the damage that foragers do can't possibly equal the damage that we're doing right now every time we put food in our mouth that was grown.
Right.
And I'm not even talking about factory farming. 70% of agriculture in the world is subsistence farming, not commercial. So this isn't about Monsanto and GMOs. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about growing in your backyard, you know, garden is the most destructive thing humans have ever done.
You said that you kind of specialize in mushrooms, but there's a vast array of stuff out there. What else do you forage for? So you've got like nuts and mushrooms, and what else? What else is out there?
Yeah, you know, when someone comes on my tour, they get a handout with 120 things.
Wow.
And only about 20 of them are mushrooms.
Huh.
So like you said, seeds and nuts are one category. Greens for salad or cooked are another. Edible flowers are another. Fruit, berries, shoots, and even sometimes twigs. And for people who are into it, insects, something I can cover also.
Kind of crickets, right? I know in different parts of the world that they love crickets.
Yeah, and there's a lot of movement towards and new products now with crickets in particular. But we don't easily catch crickets on my outings, but sometimes we see ants, and I'll pop one in my mouth just to shock people.
That's great. And I saw your video on your rap video too. You're kind of like a rap star, right? You're a mushroom. What was your name? Your rap name? Fungus.
Well, I mean, I guess I just call myself the Mushroom Man when I do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're very talented. I thought it was great. I thought it was a very good rap.
Yeah, thank you. I'll probably never live it down.
I'm way too old to actually know what's good rap or not, but to me it was good, so that's cool.
Oh, I had some livid, scathing criticism online for that rap once. And I went ahead and added that to my testimonials page.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. It's all good. Now, before we started, you were telling me that you also have a program for children where you kind of introduce them to this concept.
Yeah, we're in the public schools in Asheville, and we are expanding to the county and hopefully on up to the state and nationally. I'd like to see foraging be taught across the country as a basic skill.
Yeah, you're helping to educate children. You've got your tours, and you're also working to get this network, you said like a national network, so that, you know, if someone in another part of the country is interested, they can find a club near them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's important. And a market as well. You know, unfortunately, we're all driven by, you know, need to get by. And with all the unemployment, not to mention the hunger issue that's very closely tied to it, my idea for these networks and for this teaching is to have a place people can bring what they foraged and sell it easily.
Yeah.
And then that gets passed on up onto restaurants. I have restaurants waiting on, you know, 100 pounds a week I could be moving if I had people out there foraging right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you could also, I would imagine there could be some trading that happened too. If I foraged a big amount of one thing and you had a big amount of another thing, we could trade some of it as well.
Oh, yeah. I do that quite a bit here in Asheville.
if folks are interested in what you're doing and either want to connect with you or find out more, where can they find you?
The website is notastelikehome.org.
Notastelikehome.org. Okay, great.
And if they forget, they can just put in mushrooms, Asheville, or anything like that, and I will probably come up.
You'll probably come up. Okay, great. And like I said before, too, I'll have a link in the show notes so that anyone who's listening to this can go right to the show notes, click that, and go right over to check out your site. That's fantastic. Anything that we didn't cover that you think would be important for the listeners to know?
Yeah, you know, I may have mentioned four or five of the reasons, but the one that really means the most to me is why I call the business No Taste Like Home. And the sense that I got over time is that I feel more at home, not just in nature, but in general in the world, because foraging helps me to feel like, wow, like life doesn't have to be a struggle. And maybe there's enough for all of us and we can share. And those are pretty profound benefits when we're so stressed out all the time, thinking like, gosh, is it really worth it? And like, you know, as they say, it's that Einstein said, I never could confirm this, that the most important question we have to answer is the universe friendly?
Huh.
And, you know, yeah. When I forage, and it feels like I'm in the Garden of Eden, you know, and I have this like perpetual shopping spree, and it seems like there is so much out there. It really changes this idea that, you know, we live in scarcity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the biggest benefit I've gotten from it.
That's great. And I can see that. I mean, there's a lot to it that is very positive. I mean, you're connecting with nature. You're out there being active. You are kind of bargain hunting, or it's all about exploring and discovery. And then the stuff that you're finding is natural and healthy and good for you and freely available. And so, yeah, I totally get that. There's a lot of positive things to this.
Well, come down next time you're around and we'll go up.
Absolutely. I should do that because we have so much snow. There's no foraging here right now, for sure. I wonder if you can. You probably can, right? In the wintertime, you can probably still forage.
Well, I hope so. I'm taking out the Science Channel on next Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, they're coming at the most difficult time of the year. So look out for that show, in a few months.
Awesome.
It'll be on my website.
Okay. So you got a big challenge ahead of you. That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, Alan, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate you coming on the show. This has been fantastic, and it's really interesting. And I encourage folks to go over and check out your site and see what you have there, because, like I said, I only spent a few minutes, but it was really interesting stuff.
Yes. Thank you, Steve. It's good talking to you.
You too. Okay, it's time for the Sassy Girl Exercise Tune-Up with my good friend, fitness instructor, Jessica Bailey. Jessica is back to help you tune up some of your favorite exercises so you can get the maximum benefit from the time you put in. Hey, Jessica, how are you?
Hey, I'm very glad to be back.
Thanks. Thanks for coming back. What are we talking about this week?
Well, this week I want to talk about proper alignment in the lunge.
All right.
So a lot of times I see the knees fall inward. And so throughout your lunge, your knee should stay in alignment with your ankle. So knee and ankle, one straight line, the energy goes down through the heel. So when the knee starts to track inward, usually that means your glutes, like the inner part of your upper butt muscle,
yeah,
it means that it's weak.
Okay.
So a fun way to strengthen your glutes is to incorporate some band movements into your workout. Like, you know, those like big giant rubber band things.
Yeah, I love
those. Place them just above your ankles with your feet shoulder width apart and your knees slightly bent, and take sideways steps. And then make sure when you're doing your lunge, your knee is tracking over your second and third toe, not going inwards towards that big toe. Keep it over your second and third toe.
Perfect. That's great. So this is like a two for one. So we can get stronger butt muscles, right?
Yes.
By sidestepping with the big rubber band. And and now we know we got to keep those, we got to stay tracking straight ahead, like you said, with your knee kind of over your, you said your second and third toe?
Yes.
Okay. So that we're not kind of tilting in.
No, that's great. Yeah.
Perfect. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. That's a good one for us to work on this week.
Okay, good. Excellent. Get to work.
Okay, we'll do.
Okay.
As always, that was a great tip. You can get more awesome tips like that on Jessica's site at sassygirlfitnessnyc.com. So today we learned that foraging is a healthy, nutritious way to make a spiritual connection with nature and enjoy a fun adventure outdoors. Beyond that, it's better for the planet and can even help feed the hungry. Alan said, there's plenty out there, and it really changes
this idea that, you know, we live in scarcity.
I want to thank Alan for coming on the show and helping you and I discover foraging. I'll have links in today's show notes for his website, where you can get more information, his book, and get in touch with him. I also want to thank you for listening to the show and being part of the Outside Health and Fitness community. If you haven't yet, sign up for our free weekly newsletter while you're on the site. You'll get exclusive Outside Health and Fitness articles, resources, and my morning Tabata routine as a special thank you. So stop by outsidehealthandfitness.com/115 for all the resources we talked about today and a special bonus clip of Alan performing his Mushroom Man rap. Thanks again for listening to the show, and I'll see you outside.